This is HPR episode 2505 entitled, The Power of GNU Readline, Part 3. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 27 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, more useful key combinations.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris, doing another show in the series about GNU Readline. This is number 3. I thought I could only do about one when I started this, didn't realize it would develop so far, but there's a lot here, and it's more accessible than it seems, or it seemed to me anyway. So I'm going to carry on for another maybe couple of shows to cover some of the really interesting and useful features. So today, trying to keep the number of readline features down to a minimum so it's not indigestible, as I've said before. But I wanted to do a couple of preambles before I start. And the first off is to talk about some of the terminology. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because I'm pointing you at the GNU Readline manual in many cases, and there terminology is unique to them. As you often find with these things, we've already looked at kill and yank for as names for cut and paste. But the thing is, you'll go and find, if you go and read these manuals, you'll maybe, if you're anything like me, you'll be puzzled by these weird terms unless you've had a pointer to the way to decode them. So the three terms I wanted to address today, which I'm not really going to be using very much today, are point, mark, and region. So point is the GNU Readline term for the current cursor position. I normally call it the cursor position. It's also called the insertion point at times, but point is sort of shorthand that's used in the documentation. Mark is a thing we're not looking at today, but will do at some point. Sometime, I should say. It's a cursor position which has been saved by a command called setMark. Now, I've not personally used this, but I will have done by the time I talk about it. But it's something you might encounter. And the third term, region, is the text between the point and the mark. So you can see there's some potentially useful things coming up that will use these features. So what I'll try and do is refer to these terms with my decode of what they actually mean whenever I come across them. But that's going to be maybe the next episode or the one after that. Second point I wanted to raise was that readline takes arguments. When you type the various key sequences that we've looked at so far, what's actually happening is these key patterns like control and a letter, or meta, that's the alt key, remember, and a letter and or whatever, then what you're actually doing is you are invoking a binding. These key sequences have been bound to underlying commands. I'm planning to look at this in a couple of episodes' time, though I'll probably allude to it along the way. But the business of underlying commands is something that you'll find if you go reading the manual. Anyway, these commands can often take numeric arguments. Sometimes the argument acts as a repeat count, and other times it's the sign of the argument that's important. So to provide an argument, you hold down the meta key, and then while it's held, press a digit. If you want a multi-digit number, you then release the meta key and the digit, of course, and just hit another digit. The first quote digit can actually be a minus sign, a hyphen, if the argument is to be negative. So for example, control D that we saw, was it last episode or the one before? I can't remember, but we've seen it. Control D, which is delete forward one character. If you want to do that 10 times, you can type meta 1, so that's hold the meta key down, press 1, release, press 0, and then do control D. Tried to type this out in two different forms to make it clearer. But that will delete forward 10 characters. A negative argument reverses the effect of the command, so meta minus, so that's the meta key held down with the dash or the minus or the hyphen key, and then control K, which normally deletes forward characters to the end, it deletes the end of the line, control K. So instead of deleting characters forward to the end of the line, it deletes backward to the start of the line. So it deletes everything from where you are to the end of the line normally, control K. But if you put a meta hyphen or a minus in front of it, then it reverses its effect and it goes backwards to the start of the line. Having learnt this, I sort of vaguely knew about this before, but never used it. And in coming to talk about it here, as is often the case, I had to really understand what I was talking about. You may not believe I do, but I do. And so I rehearsed this and been using it, and I actually found it quite useful. There's some quite cool things you can do with it. And once you've got your head around what's going on, it's not too hard to remember. Even for me, I can remember it, so I'm sure you can. Final point before I get into some key sequences is to remind you that some of the sequences that we look at in this series, we are going to look at particularly, can be intercepted and then interpreted by possibly the terminal emulator that you're using or the desktop environment that you're using. So for example, when I was testing stuff recently, I found I was using the Terminator terminal emulator and I'm on XFCE, and I found that Meta L, which we'll look at briefly later, was interpreted by Terminator, and so you couldn't actually get it to readline. But I wanted to remind you that all meta key sequences can in fact be entered as escape key followed by the second key. So you don't hold the escape key down, you hit the escape key and then you press the second element. So meta L could be typed alternatively as escape and then lowercase l, and that works. So I suppose it does get a little more complicated. I guess I would tend to ignore certain terminal emulators. I was trying stuff out with Xterm. Boy, does that get difficult, because Xterm is so basic in its functionality. It doesn't necessarily recognize the meta key. I think it was, I was having problems. You have to go and reconfigure it to make it work. So be aware. Okay, let's get into some readline key sequences. So first thing is, you can comment out a line. Now this is something I often do. I do quite a lot of bash command line stuff, and I sometimes am typing a complex command with lots of arguments, lots of options, etc., etc., and possibly a pipeline, and it's getting complicated and I'm thinking, am I doing this right? How do I check? And there's the half-written command. I don't want to delete it and then type something else. Or maybe the phone goes or something and I want to make sure I don't accidentally hit the return key while I'm on the phone or something of that sort. What I used to do was I would hit the home key while I was doing the typing, which moved the cursor to the beginning of the line, and then, or I'd use Control A, that's the alternative. And then I'd stick a hash mark on the front of the line. Then I'd hit return, mostly, and that would store away that particular line so it could be recalled with the up arrow. It's in the history, and you could then take the comment off and finish typing it and invoke it. Particularly you'd want to do the hitting of return and storing it away if you wanted to use the same terminal to type something else. Because you could have two terminals and hop between them, but you know what I mean. Sometimes it's convenient to do it this way. Well, there are readline sequences that'll help you with this. If you hit meta hash as you're typing a line, it adds a comment symbol to the start of the line and issues a return. So it actually stores away the partially completed, or indeed completed line, and with a comment, but doesn't execute it. So if you then recall that line and you want to take the comment off, well, you do that. You can do that. Then, but in order to do it, you have to give the meta hash an argument. So you'd have to type meta 1 meta hash, and then it would remove that comment symbol and issue a return, and the command would be executed. That can be any argument. It could be meta 0, it could be meta hyphen, it could be anything that's permitted as an argument, which is any number, or that hyphen, which is a sort of pseudo digit. The interesting thing about the argument one is that it's a sort of a toggle. If you're on a line which has no comment on the start of it, and you do meta 0 meta hash, then it will add one. If you're on a line which begins with a comment, you do meta 0 meta hash, then it will take it off. So it toggles it on and off. But there's more to type. I don't prefer not to do that. You know, it's a good thing to know. Now, there is a way you can change the comment character. I mean, mostly this is used in Bash, but remember that read lines are used in other things, like MySQL is the one I normally cite, and a hash is a comment symbol in MySQL, so you can use it to park a command that you're typing, a query, and come back to it later if you wish. But that's not the case in Postgres, for example. So there are ways in which you can change to the comment character of the particular environment you're working in, but we'll come on to that later. And it's not automated. You'd have to set that up yourself, I think. At least it's not automated on my system that I'm using. So I thought I would add a little example per key sequence this time, rather than collect them all up at the end. So my example was, type the bash command echo space double quotes hello close double quotes, but don't press return. Type meta hash, and it turns into hash echo hello, and the line's accepted as if return had been pressed. You don't need to press return at all. Then you can recall the line with the up arrow key, then type meta 1 meta hash, the comment character is moved and the line's accepted, and you get the wonderful message hello. So pretty easy, and I think it's a good one. That's why my sequence for doing these is I'm trying to go for things that are fairly easy to use and hopefully useful before I get into the really esoteric stuff, by which time you might well have turned off and gone away. Next one then, transposition of characters. So I'm a bad typist, and I so often type words like directory instead of directory. So I transpose the O and the R. And I do, it's so frustrating, especially when it's nearly finished typing the line and you look back and see those transposition. But I guess most people do that. It is frustrating though. Readline offers a facility to correct stuff like that. And it consists of the sequence Control T. Control T transpose characters. So it swaps the character before the cursor, I put in brackets point to remind you that it's also called a point, with the one under the cursor, and then it moves the cursor to the right. When I discovered this, which is a few years ago now, it seemed a little bit counterintuitive. So I've got an example here. Imagine you've typed the word directory wrongly, so it says directory. You position the cursor on the O, so T-R-O-Y is at the end, and you've positioned the cursor on the O. Press Control T, and the O and the R are transposed, and the cursor moves to the Y. I've tried to diagram this in the notes, just because I know some people prefer. It's a thing that's better to see if you can. If the insertion point is at the end of the line, that is, the cursor's at the end of the line, then the two characters of the line are transposed repeatedly. So I've shown if the cursor's after the last letter of my misspelt directory, it's even worse spelling this time, and type Control T, then it flips the Y and the R at the end to the correct order, RY. And if you do Control T again, because the cursor hasn't moved, because there's nowhere for it to go anyway, it flips it back the wrong way. I don't know how useful that is. I don't personally find that useful, but lack of imagination on my part perhaps, but still it's useful to know, because if you inadvertently hit Control T twice, then you would not be surprised to see it flip back again. You can also transpose words. I was surprised to find that when I did discover it. So it's pretty simple. It's meta T. So Control T for the letters, meta T for words. It's often the rule in readline. a control for character-oriented stuff and meta for word-oriented stuff. So a word is, as we've discussed before, a series of letters and digits. The cursor, brackets point, to remind you, can be anywhere in a word or just before it. And it and the word before it are swapped. Again, it's slightly, I find that swapping backwards like this is a little bit odd, but there you go, that's the way it's designed. And once you know it, you can use it. The word you're on, or just in front of, and the word before it are swapped, and the cursor's left after the pair of words. If there's no word before the word the cursor is on, that is, if you're on the first word of a sequence of words, then nothing happens. If the cursor is at the end of the line, the last word and the word before it are swapped, and it's done repeatedly, just like Control D T did with the last two letters of a word. The last two words of a sentence will be processed in that. So my example is imagining that you've typed echo to boldly go where ... and you think, oh, I hate split infinitives. So you position your cursor on the O of go. You press meta T, and it's transformed into echo to go boldly where. Sounds worse, actually, isn't it? But anyway, it's probably better grammatically. The cursor is left after the word boldly, the space after the word boldly. So that's interesting. Transposition occurs even if the cursor's not on a word. And so if once you've done the first transposition I just talked about, you hit meta T again, it would swap. We've got the words boldly and where, and it will swap them so that it says to go where boldly. The cursor's left on the first dot after the word boldly. It's important to know where it's left, because that affects in the next action. So I think those two are pretty cool. I like them very much. Hope you do too. Next, we've got three sequences which affect the case of words. So you can change the case of a whole word to uppercase, to lowercase, or you can change the case of the first letter of a word. Or that's not strictly true, but we'll go with that for the moment. So in other words, it capitalizes it. Remember that, because we'll come to that. So meta U is the uppercase, the current or following word. So it's the same as before. If you're in the word, or you're pointing to the start of the word, then it will uppercase that word. If you're pointing just in front of the word, it will do the same. If you use a negative argument with this one can take an argument, then it uppercases the previous word, but interestingly doesn't move the cursor. Not quite clear why it does that, but it does. So meta U for uppercase. Meta L, lowercase u, I should have said. It will lowercase, didn't know that was a verb actually. It will lowercase the current or following word, just like before. And with a negative argument, it'll do the word prior to the current one, and it will not move the cursor. I've used the terminology here more or less as it is in the GNU readline manual. Tended to do that to a moderate degree, but add a bit more of my own just to make it clear, because it's not always that clear. This one seems fairly clear to me. So we've got meta lowercase u, meta lowercase l, and then we've got meta lowercase c, and this capitalizes the current or following word. With the negative argument, it capitalizes the previous word and doesn't move the cursor. So these three are very similar in their behavior. Now, it doesn't say this in the manual, but I discovered this by experimentation, that if you want to change the case of a whole word or capitalize it, your cursor must be before the word or on its first letter. If it's partway through the word, then the rest of the word from the cursor to the end of the word is changed. And this is similar for capitalization. If the capital is at the start of the following word, or it occurs where the cursor is positioned. And the other thing to note is that the rest of the word is lowercased. So if you've got a mixed case word and you do a meta C on it, it's going to change the letter you're pointing to, or the one at the beginning of the word, depending on whether you're between words, it's going to uppercase that, and it's going to drop the case of the rest of the word. Again, I was a little bit surprised that that happened, but I guess it makes sense. So I guess capitalize means raise the relevant letter to uppercase, and the rest of the letters from wherever you happen to be to lowercase. So I've tried to do some examples here showing how this would work, and it's got one example for upper and lowercase, and it's a sort of a recipe. you do various things that I suggest, and you get the various effects, just to demonstrate the sort of thing you want to do. So imagine you have typed the command, but you haven't pressed return yet. The command is echo space, double quotes, Hacker Public Radio, with spaces in between, all in lowercase, close quote. You move your cursor to the H of Hacker, and you do that by pressing Meta B three times to move three words backwards, which is cool. I'm so glad I've learned to do this. It's a good way of jumping around the line. Then if you press Meta U, what you get is, and it's shown in the notes here, the word hacker is converted to all uppercase, and the cursor is positioned at the space after the word. So that word has now been changed to uppercase. If you now hit Meta U again, is not too surprising. It, even though it's not on a word, it's before a word, and the word it's before is public, and it uppercases that and moves the cursor to the space after it. Now, if you did Meta hyphen Meta L at that point, you just moved your cursor after the word public, then that's a negative argument to the Meta L command, and it lowercases the word public again. So it's changed the previous word, because remember the negative arguments make it go backwards. But the cursor hasn't been moved, it's still in the same place it was. The thing I didn't try, and I should have done, is the effect of a positive argument on these things. I assume it is the same as typing Meta U or Meta L multiple times. So the whole sequence of words gets changed in case. Yeah, I should have checked that, but I'll leave that as an exercise. Now, I added a bit here which shows, going back to Hacker Public Radio, all in lowercase, the cursor in this case is positioned under the K of, on the K of Hacker. Now, if you press Meta U here, then the letters K-E-R are uppercase and the rest are left alone. So it's processing the word from the cursor position. I had expected it to do the whole word by backtracking or something, but that's not how it works. Like I said, that's not documented in the manual. Okay, capitalization then, example of that. And I've put an echo command, which is in quotes, the capital of Scotland is Edinburgh. I don't know what made me think of that. And it's all in lowercase. And the cursor is positioned after the closing quote because I've just typed it. So if you press Meta B six times, then Meta C, then Meta F twice, and Meta C again, then you get it's got a capital T, capital of is all lowercase, Scotland's got a capital S, and the cursor is positioned after the word Scotland. So I was sort of leaving you to work out what I did there, basically using Meta F is go forward a word. So if you then press Meta F and Meta C, then it skips forward a word to the word Edinburgh and it uppercases first letter. I did say here, it should be self-evident from previous episodes in the series. I tried to do a smiley face, but it's so tiny you can hardly see it. So hopefully that stuff will prove to be useful. Now I added one more sequence here, which at the time seemed like a good idea, I'm not sure it was, which is how you revert the line to its previous condition. Now we saw the undo command in episode 1, and that is control underscore, or you can use control X, control U, and each one of the undo commands reverts one change. There is a sequence that will revert everything on the line, and I've just chopped out the text and put it in these notes. So it's meta R, and it will undo all the changes made to this line. Is it like executing the undo command enough times to get back to the beginning? Now, I might go straight into an example to try and explain this. I don't use this sequence myself very often. It looked good, but I could never get it to do anything particularly useful, I thought. I was experimenting it for this episode, and I didn't find it all that useful, as I said in the notes. So let's look at what the undo command will do in normal use. It reverts in individual steps. So imagine you've typed the command echo space double quote Star Wars in mixed case close quote. The cursor's positioned at the end of the line after the closing quote. So if you move back to the R in star and press Control T, then you get Star Wars. You move forward to the capital W in wars and press Control T and you get straw R's. Now press Control underscore to perform one undo and you go back to Star Wars. You press it again and you get Star Wars. We're back to the original state except that the cursor's in a different place. If you press Control underscore again, then it reverts to the absolute beginning, which was nothing at all on the line. So if you had the same starting point, I don't know why you're doing this to Star Wars, but there he goes. You're learning what Control T does, and it's fun. So if you did all that, and then instead of doing the undos, you press Meta R, then it just deletes everything. You end up with a blank line. So you might think, well, what's the use of that? Because Control U, which we looked at in episode 2, is the kill the entire line command and achieves the same thing. However, if you recall a line and want to do some more stuff to it, so say you typed the Star Wars echo thing and you press return and you got the wonderful message Star Wars, then you recalled that command and you wanted to do something like Star Wars is rubbish. No, you wouldn't do that. But if you wanted to make further changes to it, then the individual changes you've made to it can be reverted with Control underscore as before, or can be, all of them can be reverted with Meta R. But you can only go as far back with the undo and the Meta R as the point where you recalled the line. So neither of those commands will get you back beyond the Echo Star Wars that you recall. So that's really where it's useful, I guess. But I can't see myself using it very often. But you might think differently. Okay, so in the notes, I've made reference to the GNU Readline manual and the Wikipedia article on GNU Readline, which contains a condensed version of some of the stuff we've covered. But we're going to go deeper. And there were two previous shows which were also referenced. So that's it. That, I hope, was not too long and tedious. I hope you get some use out of those cool commands. All right. See you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.